from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where exactly I was wishing that I could do a radio show under a giant crucifix, but that wish has come true. Thank you. Thank you so much. Man, it was down on my list, I know, somewhere, but anyway, these things come in their own time, in their own order. This is a broadcast originating from the Central Presbyterian Church, for goodness sake, in Austin, Texas, site of the South by Southwest Music Festival. And this is a radio show, and it's also a showcase for a little record company that my wife and I have called Courgette. Now, a lot of people say, what's Courgette? A lot of really slow people say, what's Courgette? Is that some kind of sports car? Courgette is the British word for zucchini, and it's a bit of a tribute to Derek Smalls. It's his favorite vegetable. So, and the unofficial slogan of the record company is entertainment that you can put down your trousers. So, before anything else, though, ladies and gentlemen, some good news, because it's so hard to find the good news today, and that's sort of what I like to do is, you know, be a constructive menace to society. Rupert Murdoch this week has sounded the death knell for the media baron. How could he possibly do that? He compares today's internet pioneers with explorers such as Christopher Columbus and hails the arrival of a second great stage of discovery. Do you hear the sound of gas escaping from a giant bag? He confided to a club that he belongs to in London, a club with this odd British name, the Worshipful Company of Stationers and Newspaper Makers. Of course, he's in a smaller group called the Worshipful Company of Newspaper Destroyers. But anyway, that he may be among, and here is the good news, ladies and gentlemen, the last of a dying breed. Quote, power is moving away from the old elite in our industry, the editors, the chief executives, and let's face it, the proprietors, said Murdoch. Far from mourning the passage of the old order, he evangelized about a digital future, we haven't heard that before, that would put the power in the hands of those already launching a blog every second. Of course, he plans to buy up half of those. A new generation of media consumers has risen, demanding content delivered when they want it, how they want it, and very much as they want it, he said, indicating he had little desire to slow down despite his advancing years. He says he's leaning forward, not back, meaning, of course, he's just going to buy all of you. That's the good news. Hello, welcome to the show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our first musical guest of the evening, please welcome from New Orleans, Louisiana, John Boutte and Henry Butler.
Thank you.
Don't waste your time being angry when a moment is better with a smile. If you feel your time's been wasted, wasted here for a while. Standing at that bus stop, just across from Krause, waiting for the driver to take me to my heavenly house. I'll see you there at the foot of Canal Street. What will they wear at the foot of Canal Street? Will a band be playing at the foot of Canal Street? What will the people be saying at the foot of Canal Street? Does your father lie there? Does your mother pray? I'm gonna lay my burdens down at the foot of Canal Street. When the riverbanks are overflowing, the streetcar has seen its day. When all is gone, the plantation, the Tremay, the Lucari, I'll be swinging to that music, Lord, on higher ground. see you there at the foot of Canal Street. Hey, what will they wear at the foot of Canal? Or will the band be playing at the foot of Canal? What will the people be saying at the foot of Canal Street? Does your father lie there? Does your mother pray? Hey, hey, yeah. I'm gonna lay my burdens down at the foot of Canal Street.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a church, and so it's appropriate that we hear from a churchly man a statement he made just this very week.
These people are craze fanatics, and I want to say it now. I believe it's motivated by demonic power. It is satanic, and it's time we recognize what we're dealing with. But political correctness will not face one religious ideology with the strength of another because they don't have the strength of another, and so they're caving in before this vicious assault. And the goal of Islam, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, is world domination. These people are saying it over there in Europe. World domination. We're going to take over Europe. We're going to take over England. We're going to take over Denmark. We're going to take over France. That's their goal. And why don't we wake up to the fact of who we're dealing with? And by the way, Islam is not a religion of peace.
Pat Robertson, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody ever brought up to him, I guess, during that statement that there are several religions that are interested in world domination. I can name three right here. Not, of course, Presbyterians. They just want to settle what they've already got. But you know, you could ask Tom Cruise about a religion that wants to engage in world domination. If he weren't busy keeping an episode of South Park off the air. Did you see that? Tom Cruise apparently threatened Paramount Pictures that he would not promote Mission Impossible 3. Oh, my God, no. Unless Paramount leaned on Viacom, its corporate owner, to lean on Comedy Central, its corporate daughter, son, to cancel the episode of South Park that was so mean toward Scientology that it made Isaac Hayes quit. I'm talking about Shaft. Shut your mouth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for news outside the bubble. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Shiite. Can you say Shiite in a church, by the way? Shiite nationalist leader in Iraq, Muqtada al-Sadr, said this week, just to make it official, that Iraq is in a state of civil war. He responded to guerrilla provocations against Sadr City, a suburb of Iraq named for his daddy. So I guess he cares about it. Muqtada, and I thought that was a hip cocktail. Let's all go have a lovely muqtada tonight. He was shocked when Donald Rumsfeld said last week that the U.S. military would not intervene in Iraq in case of a civil war. And I'm now quoting Muqtada al-Sadr. Pardon me, Church. Quote, "May God damn you," Sadr said of Rumsfeld. "You said in the past that civil war would break out if you were to withdraw, and now you say in case of civil war, you won't interfere." Rumsfeld replied, "Stuff happens." Dateline Baghdad. Senior Iraqi officials this week confirmed for the first time that death squads composed of government employees had operated illegally from inside two Iraqi government ministries. Quote, "The death squads that we've captured are in the defense and interior ministries." Well, thank God they're not in any place important like agriculture. That's according to Minister of Interior Bayan Jaber. These are people who have infiltrated the army and interior. Jaber appeared to confirm the existence of death squads, but the good news is the scale of the operation is far smaller than critics had alleged. So as long as the critics are humiliated, everything's okay. Senior British military and diplomatic staff gave Tony Blair explicit warnings 3 years ago that the United States was disastrously mishandling the occupation of Iraq, according to memos that were leaked this week. This is not fake news, ladies and gentlemen. This is, unfortunately, the real news. Blair's envoy in Baghdad in the aftermath of the invasion sent a series of confidential memos to Downing Street. This would be new Downing Street memos, apparently, in May and June 2003, cataloging U.S. failures. This is Tony Blair's own guy, ladies and gentlemen. With unusual frankness, which would be welcome just about now, he described the U.S. post-war administration led by General Jay Garner as, quote, "an unbelievable mess," unquote, and said Garner and his top team of 60-year-old retired generals were, quote, "well-meaning but out of their depth," unquote. Thank God we didn't have anybody like that when Katrina struck. That assessment was reinforced by Major General Albert Whitley, the most senior British officer with the U.S. forces in Iraq at that time. General Whitley, in another memo later that summer, expressed alarm that the U.S.-British coalition was in danger of losing the peace. Quote, "We may have been seduced into something we might be inclined to regret." What a delicate way of putting it. We may have been seduced into something we might be inclined to regret. That makes it like a sad, failed romance rather than a botched war. The Brits are such romantics, aren't they? Quote, quoting him again, "Is strategic failure a possibility? The answer has to be yes," he concluded. This was at a time when we were being told, of course, that everything was excellent. Thank you. Who says I won't pander? The memos were obtained by Michael Gordon, author, along with General Bernard Traynor, of a book called Cobra 2, The Inside Story of the Invasion and the Occupation of Iraq. The British memos identify a series of U.S. failures that contained the seeds of the present insurgency and anarchy, including a lack of interest by the U.S. commander, General Tommy Franks, in the post-invasion phase of the war. It was Franks without beans, apparently. So cheap it makes its own gravy. The squandering the initial sympathy of the Iraqis. So they were going to throw flowers, but then they soured on the whole idea, and the flowers wilted. The main U.S. civilian contractor, which contrary to a popular liberal belief is not Halliburton, it's another huge company called Bechtel, moving too slowly to reconnect basic services such as electricity and water. Thank God that didn't happen after Katrina. Failure to deal with health hazards such as 40% of Baghdad sewage pouring into the Tigris River and rubbish piling up in the streets. Ditto. So, at least we have a pattern. At least it wasn't ad-libbing. And finally, in news from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you didn't hear this, Tony Blair, the recipient of those warnings, this week joined the growing calls for the United States detention camp at Guantanamo Bay to be closed. He was questioned about the claims of torture by two British residents being held there. He was challenged at his regular monthly press conference. What an odd idea to have a monthly press conference. What is this? Does he think he's good with words or something? He was questioned there over graphic and shocking claims by two men who lived in Britain that they were handed over to the CIA by Britain's security service, MI5, for torture in Kabul, Afghanistan, before being taken to Guantanamo. These two guys claimed that their only crime was that they were working for MI5, the British CIA, to connect them to, shall we say, fervent Islamists in London. And for their efforts working for MI5, they were taken to Guantanamo, where they languish to this day. So British Prime Minister Tony Blair now calling for the end of Guantanamo Bay. Of course, he doesn't say where those prisoners should be taken. Probably someplace nice in Egypt. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen. It is a copyrighted feature of this very broadcast. Thank you. Thank you. Now, what I'd like to do at this point in the show is...
Excuse me, Harry.
Oh, hold on.
Hello, Austin.
Well, hello, that's Ralph the Talking Computer, ladies and gentlemen, a sometime guest of this broadcast. Ralph, what's with the though? I mean, what's the...
I'm not capable of comically extended syllables.
Oh.
So sue me.
Well, I'm not going to sue a computer. Feel kind of silly to do that. I'll reserve my lawsuits for individuals. What, Ralph? It's great to see you here at South by Southwest, of course, which is a fabulous festival.
This is a very exciting, very digitally enhanced kind of music thing.
It is.
You know me.
Uh-huh.
Anything digital, I'm there in a heartbeat.
Even though you don't have a heart, so. That
you don't need to rub it in.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Ralph, what exactly are you doing here at the show, here in the church?
Well, I noticed you're doing a special performance broadcast with an audience.
Yes.
And everything.
Yes, an audience.
And usually those kinds of broadcasts have, you know,
mm-hmm.
an announcer or a sidekick
well,
or something.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
I was just kind of thinking that maybe, you know.
Well, you're much more tentative and almost defensive than usual, Ralph. You're almost talking like a teenage girl there with all the you knows. I mean,
it's nothing. It's just a new piece of software I'm using called iTeenageGirl. It helps me with my expressiveness.
Well, it's doing wonders for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I mean, so you want to be a part of the show because it's like an audience thing, and you want to. Yeah.
I mean, there are credits at the end of the show.
There are credits.
Musicians to be introduced.
That's correct.
Maybe some good-natured ripping at my expense.
Uh huh.
You know. About how gaudy my screensaver is.
Gaudy?
Or how much energy I consume.
Uh-huh.
Just some good nutty stuff.
That would be good nutty stuff. But I do think, Ralph, that probably for an announcer or a sidekick kind of a role, a human would be the man or the woman for the job, you know? So
sounds kind of personist to me.
Personist.
Sure.
Yeah.
Humans can do it. Machines can't.
Yeah.
You don't think I'm likable?
No, I think you're...
Hey, dude.
Yeah.
I've got likability up the motherboard.
Well, I don't really care where you're storing the likability these days, Ralph. Maybe if we'd had a meeting before the show, we could have worked this out, but we're on the air now. I would say, just as a command decision... I'm going to go with no announcer and no sidekick. But please feel free to stick around.
Oh, sure.
Welcome.
I'll stick around, all right.
Okay.
What else do I have to do with my time? Count words in a text document?
No, I'm sure you have other things to do, Ralph. But just avail yourself of...
No problem.
Okay, good.
Just remember this moment in a few years... When the machines are hosting the shows and the humans are trying to be the sidekicks. I've got nothing but memory, babe.
He babed me. All right, well, congratulations on the upgrade. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Ralph the Talking Computer.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Now, without any further ado, the amazing, wonderful, charismatic, romantic, funny, lanky, lascivious, Lyle Lovett. Ladies and gentlemen, John Hagen on cello. Welcome to the church.
You know, it's a beautiful place to get to play, isn't it?
It is. The acoustics are wonderful.
Were you raised in the church, Harry?
No. I was raised in a home.
Well, it is kind of weird after everybody leaves on Sunday, if you're raised in a church.
Yeah, I would think.
I'm Lutheran. John is a recovering Lutheran.
So how do you take Garrison Keillor's kidding? Do you think it's in good spirit?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I just was checking on that.
He's kind of mean, though. Yeah. there are more Germans in Minnesota than there are people of Scandinavian descent, people of German descent than people, which is, it's off a misconception, I think, because people think of, at least down here in Texas, think Minnesota, Scandinavia.
Yeah, sure. Because of the weather. Now, how did there are not a lot of Lutherans in Texas, though, are there?
Oh, well, a ton, yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we have, there were lots of, my family on my mom's side was originally from Germany, and they left Germany in the 1840s because they were Protestant and came here. So, the German Protestants are all Lutheran.
What are you going to do for us?
Well, Harry, we're just glad to be here. I didn't know we were going to do anything. But
I think they'd love to watch you just tune up and sound check.
It was a big part of my act when I first started out.
It's part of every guitarist's act.
Well, it is a privilege to be here on the radio with Harry Shearer. Harry's been so nice to me over the years, and was so excited to hear that he was going to be down here in Austin for all the South by Southwest. My friend John Hagen and I, John lives in Austin, and he and I have played together since, 1979, 1980. This is a song from our latest release, which is, just getting later and later.
I get up in the morning, I drink a cup of coffee, I look out of the window, and I try to get it started, turn it all over, and plow it all under, and plant them in the springtime, and pick them in the summer. I live in my own mind. It ain't nothing but a good time. No rain, just sunshine. Out here in my own mind. I live where I can breathe. It ain't nothing but a cool breeze. Nobody that it won't please. Out here where you can breathe. Randy and Annie Ray, they'll show back up any day. That's one thing you can count on. But sometimes they'll be long gone. I'd rather be hunting, hooked on fishing, read it on.
on the t-shirt. If you don't believe it, I live in my own mind. Ain't nothing but a good time. No rain, just sunshine. Out here in my own mind, I live where you can breathe. Ain't nothing but a cool breeze. Nobody that it won't please. Out here where you can breathe. Hardwood floor creaking, bedroom door squeaking. She's standing in the kitchen. I thought she was still sleeping. Kiss her on the forehead. I ask her how she slept. She says, honey, it's so early. We probably shouldn't speak yet. I live in my own mind. Ain't nothing but a good time. No rain, just sunshine. Out here in my own mind, I live where I can breathe. Ain't nothing but a cool breeze. Nobody that it won't please. Out here where you can breathe, I live in my own mind. Ain't nothing but a good time. No rain, just sunshine. Out here in my own mind.
Mr. Lovett, there must have been a time when a cello player in country music seemed more surprising than it does now.
You know, I wish I could take credit for corrupting John Hagen and taking him from the world of classical music into the world of the local nightlife. but I met John because I used to get to open shows for him and the band he was in. He was in an Irish music, traditional music band. And they were very popular around Austin in the late 70s, a band called Eagle Bone Whistle, who made a record for Philo Records in those days. And so John was very popular when I met him and just really felt lucky to get to play with him at all.
But you've also had, in addition to John, you've done multiple tours with your large band, and that's like an unusual thing for a country-based artist as well. Where did you get the taste in your ears for that large band sound?
You know, it's a wonderful feeling to travel around and play with wonderfully talented musicians. Our large band, we don't call it the large band unless we're able to take out our horn section, which these days has been a four-piece horn section in our vocal group, which has been a four-piece vocal group as well. In terms of arrangements, in the recording studio, I always just try to arrange a song musically to suit the content of the song. And sometimes you can really paint yourself in a corner if you do a horn chart or a string chart, or you have a great background vocal part that you want to take out on the road and perform the way you recorded it. And that's really what happened. It wasn't it really was a case of the cart before the horse. And there we were with these recordings and arrangements that required all these people But it sure turned out to be great fun.
Oh, it's amazing. And it must, I mean, it's great fun to watch it and listen to it. And but you didn't have like a stash of big band records that you had under your pillow when you were a kid, right?
You know, I listened to my folks' record collection. They were, you know, members of the old Columbia Record Club. Yeah, exactly. And,
wow.
And so new stuff would show up every month.
And they didn't send it back.
But after I got through with them, they couldn't send them back. you know, my folks both worked. And so after school every day, I would sort of go through the records and play their Nat King Cole records and Ray Charles records and Glenn Miller records.
Wow. I asked you if you would do one of my favorite Lyle Lovett songs. This one always makes me puddle up when I hear it. So if I puddle up, you'll understand. But it's from one of your earlier records, but it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous song.
Well, you're very kind to ask, and we really enjoyed getting to be on your show, and it's just great to see you here. And you folks are okay for a bunch of Presbyterians. So.
If I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean. I set me up on my pony on my boat. And if I were Roy Rogers, I'd sure not be single. I couldn't bring myself to marry an old Dale. Will it just be me and Trugger? We'll go riding through them movies. Then we'd buy a boat and on the sea we'd sail. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean. I set me up on my pony, on my boat. But now the mystery masked man was smart. He got himself a Tonto, 'cause Tonto did the dirty work for free. But Tonto, he was smarter, and one day said Kemosabe, I kiss my ass, I bought a boat, I'm going out to sea. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean. I set me up on my pony, on my boat. If I were like lightning, I wouldn't need no sneakers. Well, I'd come and go whenever I would please. And I'd scare him by the shade tree, and I'd scare him by the light pole. But would not scare my pony on my boat out on the sea. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together we'd go out on the ocean. I set me up on my pony, on my boat. I set me up on my pony, on my boat.
now, ladies and gentlemen, from the church, I'm going to read the trades for you. This is a regular feature I do because I believe that the real story about what's going on, at least in this country, is not found in the regular news media so much as in the trade magazines that cover the inside story in various businesses. And they're called the trades, and I read them for you on occasion. This is a good one today from the Hollywood Reporter. Newscasts adopt product placements. I'll read it for you. That's what I'm doing, is I'm reading it for you. Dateline Los Angeles. While just about every television genre, thank you so much, has jumped on the lucrative product placement bandwagon, that's where products are discovered somewhere in the frame of the television screen during a broadcast, as opposed to a commercial, where you're actually being told to buy something. This is a little subtler, a little nicer. News programs have generally been considered off-limits to preserve editorial integrity. But with TV stations facing increased competition and pressure on advertising revenue, the barriers that shielded news programs from such deals are falling. Product placement, media, and branded entertainment agencies say they are increasingly being pitched opportunities from local stations to integrate their clients' products into news programming in exchange for buying commercial time or paying integration fees. We wanted integration, we got it. Quote, there are more local news stations that are incorporating brands into news in innovative, cutting-edge ways, unquote, says Aaron Gordon, president of the entertainment marketing firm Set Resources. Quote, the line, which has always been black and white in terms of what's news and what's commercials, is now being blurred, unquote. That's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. A number of local stations, including KRON-TV in San Francisco and KMEX-TV in Los Angeles, confirmed they have integrated advertisers into their newscasts and are actively seeking out such deals. The Fox affiliate KPTV in Portland launched a lifestyle show. See, we should never have let the word lifestyle into our language to begin with. It was always going to lead to something bad. Launched a lifestyle show in January called More Good Day Oregon, an extension of its morning news program, Good Day Oregon. Those who vote for less Good Day Oregon were apparently outnumbered. Quote, we're all trying to find ways of integrating commercial messages into content that satisfy the audience and advertisers without hurting our product, says KRON president and general manager Mark Antonitis. I had a bad case of Antonitis earlier this year, but I recovered. Quote, when you're an independent, you've got to do what you can to survive. You bank on your credibility as a news organization every day, but you also have to be successful as a business. You have to be creative for your advertisers, not compromising the credibility of your news organization, unquote. We are already seeing an erosion of the editorial wall in network newsrooms, particularly for morning news and news magazines, says Jim Johnston, who's a partner at a law firm that represents media agencies and entertainment clients. He says, I think you'll find that this type of activity will continue to take place and other forms of product integration will find their way into news divisions as well. You will likely see a lot more boundary pushing in the future. Representatives for the network early morning shows, all produced through their news divisions, say they allow no product integration of any kind. But they do feature the brand names and logos of the sponsors of their concert series on the stages where their musical acts perform. This music today was brought to you by nobody. The ethics code of the radio and television news directors says that news reporting and decision-making should be free of inappropriate commercial influences and should not show favoritism to advertisers, and news organizations should protect the integrity of coverage against any potential conflict of interest. But on the other hand, KMEX in Los Angeles has a partnership with Kaiser Permanente, which is an HMO, a health maintenance organization. As part of what the station calls its Lead a Healthy Life, Get the Facts public service campaign, Kaiser physicians are interviewed on health topics on various news programs. News footage is shot at Kaiser facilities, and Kaiser patients and support groups are featured in news segments. Kaiser pays additional fees for the integrations, which are not disclosed as such during the news programs. Quote, bringing Kaiser on board was a win-win for both of us because they get the exposure of their physicians on television, and we have their experts giving us the medical view on a particular health issue, says a Univision spokesman. Of course, Univision broadcasts in Spanish, so what the hell. Quote, typically news isn't for sale because you need to maintain your integrity. However, you also need to be creative, to find ways to include your advertisers without damaging your credibility. And if you think a win-win is good, listen to this. Antonitis at KRON-TV in San Francisco. Quote, we bring people on all the time to talk about books, products, and interesting new ideas anyway. So if we can have the added benefit of a new revenue source and give something to our viewers they wouldn't be able to get otherwise, and advertisers get their products advertised, it's a win-win-win. One win too many, ladies and gentlemen. When I read the trades for you, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, with her bass player, Sean Hurley, Courgette recording artist, Miss Judith Owen.
This is something that I did for an HBO show called Mrs. Harris. And Ray Davies is here, in spirit. And Chrissy Hynde's definitely here.
Here in Austin?
Well, not here. I mean, she's not in the piano or something, but she's here. So here we go. Let's get depressed.
When I look up from my pillow, I dream you are there with me. Though you are far away, I know you'll always be near to me. I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. And I look around you and feel you are ever so close to me. And each tear that flows from my eye brings back memories of you to me. And I go to sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I go to sleep, hey, and imagine that you're there with me. I was wrong, and I will cry. I will love you till the day I die. You alone and no one else. You were meant for me. And when I wake up from my pillow, I dream you are there with me. though you are far away, I know you'll always be near to me. And I go to sleep, sleep, and imagine that you're there with me. I go to sleep, hey, 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 and imagine that you're there with me.
The first American that I fell in love with told me about...
I thought I was the first American.
There was a first, oh. And he was from Texas, and he told me about heat coming up street off the land and streets, and he basically lied because he made out that armadillos were just like walking across the streets of Austin, but I believed him because I was a mug, and but I loved him dearly. And he made me yearn to come to Texas. And I have the habit of singing this every time I come to Texas. And please would you just go absolutely certifiably, get the elephant gun mad, crazy for my beautiful bass player, Mr. Sean Hurley. He's so cute! Oh, it's good to play with people who aren't hard to look at. With some honest affection, I couldn't understand how she could be so strong, but she cried inside. With a little introspection, she said, you know, you've got to be the first to know when you are wrong. Met a stranger in strange circumstances. They talked forever like they were long lost friends. When he left her, her heart was filled with Eastern dances. And 2 days before her heart could strike a beat again. Texas, but I hear the weather's awful hot. And if I was a lizard, I would lie on the desert and send my emotions on a postcard. I met again on a rainy morning. Saw his face and her heart felt like a circus chime. Deep inside her pride was alive like a new day dawning. Oh, well, isn't it strange how much can change in such a little time? Oh, no, no, no. Cause I've never been to Texas. Texas, but I hear the weather's awful hard. If I was a lizard, I would lie on the desert and send my emotions on a postcard. Hey, I've never been to Texas, but I hear the weather's awful hard. And if I was a lizard, I would lie on the desert and send my emotions on a postcard. I'd like to send my emotions. Let us send my emotions. On a postcard. You know that. I'd like to send my emotions on a post and come out.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Judah Dolan, ladies and gentlemen. Judah Dolan, Sean Charlie. Henry Butler. Henry.
Hey.
You're living now in Colorado?
In Boulder, Colorado. Actually, it's a nice town. It's a little cooler than New Orleans. A little higher, a little drier.
Yeah. How was your first winter?
Well, it's mixed.
But it's over. That's the good part, right?
Well, actually, a lot of that snow is still yet to come, I hear.
Oh, God.
A little more in March, a little bit in April. Probably about the latter part of April, it'll be okay. I hear summers are wonderful, and I'm looking forward to that.
I bet you are.
Oh, yes.
Would you do one more song for us by your own self?
Well, certainly. I want to do one of my pieces that have, it's become one of our signature pieces. And I wrote it in 1978, piece entitled Orleans Inspiration.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to thank all the people who made this program possible. Marty Lester, Brian Anderson, Eric Roberts, Julie Toplett-Boyer, Chris Smith, Leslie Uppinghouse, the staff at Central Presbyterian Church, Rick Carlson, Judith Owen, Bambi Moe, Tequila Mockingbird Studio, Steve at Affordable Audio Visual, Mark Geary at Austin Music Maker, Sean Hurley, Pam Halstead, Kimball Packard, Henry Butler, John Boutte, and Lyle Lovett. Thanks so much. Good night.
The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.